Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when He corrects you, for the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver. Her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand, and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, He created the heavens. By His knowledge, the deep foundations and fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settles beneath the night sky. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, "Come back tomorrow and then I'll help you." Don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. Don't pick a fight without reason when no one has done you harm. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. I was reading out of Proverbs chapter 3, and it was an attempt to connect with what we talked about yesterday on the radio broadcast, having trust in the Lord. When we read in Isaiah chapter 30, how God was very displeased with his people when they put their confidence and their trust in foreign nations, then he basically said, you're going to be turned over to them. They're going to disappoint you. He said, if you don't put your trust in me, if you don't put your confidence in me, then you're going to be disappointed. And there's a blessing for those who do put their confidence in the Lord. There's a great blessing. As a matter of fact, we're reading part of that blessing right now as we were looking at Proverbs chapter 3. But going back to yesterday in Isaiah chapter 30, God says this to those that will put their trust in him. And I'm in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you. Now, when he says here he's waiting for you to come to him, he's saying, I'm waiting for you to put your trust in me. And when you do, listen to this. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. O people of Zion, O church, who live in the world today, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him, and they certainly did in the temple when Jesus was teaching. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Then you will destroy all your silver idols and your precious gold images. You will throw them out like filthy rags, saying to them, good riddance. Now listen. When you turn to the Lord, verse 23, then the Lord will bless you with rain at planting time. There will be wonderful harvests and plenty of pasture land for your livestock. The oxen and donkey that till the ground will eat good grain, its chaff blown away by the wind. In that day when your enemies are slaughtered and the towers fall, there will be streams of water flowing down every mountain and hill. The moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days in one. So it will be when the Lord begins to heal his people and cure the wounds that he gave them. for their rebellion. So anytime, once again, we take things into our own hands or put our trust in princes or governors or administrations or presidents or kings, anytime we put our lives in the hands of man, we're going to be disappointed. That's all there is to it, because God is a jealous God. We know that God is a jealous God. And so our lives belong to him. He created us. He knows us better than anybody on this earth will ever know us. Even though we are all alike in our Adamic human nature, but God has put a brand new nature in you and I. And because God has put a brand new nature, he's cultivating, he's training up, he's committed himself to bringing up and maturing that new nature on the inside of us. So if we put our born-again lives in the hands of man, we're in trouble. And even to Israel, who did not have a born-again spirit, when they put their trust in the nations around them, God was very displeased. He's a jealous God, because God is able to take care of his people. He wants to take care of you. He has already forewarned us of what is coming down the pike. He has told us what we can expect during the Great Tribulation, during times of persecution. Now, I want to make a very public apology at this moment, and this is going to be, you know, as genuine an apology as I could make. I ask my brothers and sisters around the world that are listening to this radio broadcast right now, via live or by archive or however the revelation of the Spirit of God is getting into your heart, I want to apologize for talking about great tribulation, for talking about persecution, talking about what's coming upon the United States of America. And we do this from the comfort of our own homes. We do this at a time in America where we're not personally being threatened, you know, by violence and war. We see it around us, but we have a beautiful hedge around us. We're blessed, praise God. But I do know, it's one thing to preach the gospel over the airwaves from the security of your own home and the blessing of God. It's another thing to go preach the gospel in Iran, or to go into some Islamic country or some communist place or some hostile venue and to preach the gospel there. It's almost as dangerous as wearing a Make America Great Again hat when you're walking through a Democratic gathering, so to speak. So it's a dangerous thing to preach the gospel, and there are pastors and ministers and missionaries who have laid their life down to get the message, the seed of the kingdom, the seed of the gospel into the hearts and minds of those who have never heard it before. We are basically preaching the gospel to people that have heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And so we retreated from just preaching, you know, the good news about our salvation, which is always going to be the right thing to do, by the way. But God shifted our hearts to tell people to prepare for what's coming. It's been many, many years, and we really haven't seen what we said come to pass yet. But again, the signs of the times are swirling all around us. But again, it's one thing to preach about what's coming while other people are already in it. People are being raped. Women are being raped in front of their husbands and their children by ISIS and other Islamic radical groups. Men are being destroyed. They're being decapitated, beheaded. The children are sold into sex slavery. Men are being put into cages and burned alive. I mean, the persecution, the imprisonment, the beatings, the floggings, all the different things that have happened to men and women, whether it's in China, whether it's in Russia, whether it's in the past, present, or future to come. I mean, this is tough stuff. And the church is always engaged in some form of persecution, whether it was in Rome, in the Roman Colosseums, whether it was during the Inquisitions, through the Vatican assassins, the Jesuits, helping the Catholic Church to be the dominant and warring against those Protestants or those Protestants, or whether it was during any other time of persecution, whether it was the Ukrainians that were being persecuted, whether it was the underground church in China, as we said, the Bolsheviks in Russia, you know, the revolution that happened there that killed, I think, 150 million Orthodox, Christians. The persecution has never ended during the church age. And all we know is at the end of the end of the end of the ages, right before Jesus Christ returns, there's going to be a global great tribulation, a global persecution by the Antichrist powers that are making landfall on the earth. And so we've been warning people about this, okay? Because we have all heard the good news. We know how to live. We know that we're supposed to walk in holiness. We know we're supposed to do what is right always before God's eyes. We never lower his standard. We know that we're to have our conversation seasoned with salt. We know that we're supposed to always obey the instructions that were given to us. We know we're supposed to put off the old man, put on the new man. We know we're supposed to operate out of the mind of Christ, not the carnal mind that is enmity with God. We know that we're to deal with the spots, wrinkles, and blemishes within us. We know we're supposed to, you know, do all of these things. Walk in love. Love your enemy. Forgive. Always forgive. Never hold a grudge. Make sure we deal with every bitter root, because beware the root of bitterness, for it defiles many. We know that life is bitter sometimes, and a lot of people have swallowed a bitter pill. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to uproot the roots of bitterness and make sure that we are living a satisfied life in Christ, because his root into us is always refreshing. We know these things. We know we're not supposed to have worldliness. We're not to love the world. We're not to, you know, love the things in the world. We're not to be a friend of the world. He who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. I mean, we know these things. We've been trained up in these things. We've learned these things. We're supposed to sacrifice, care for one another. We're supposed to be givers. We're supposed to be doers. I mean, God's word is so complete, and we've heard it for such a long time. Now, faith does come by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And so, you know, that's why the gospel's preached so often. But again, there comes a time where we shift and we get ready for what's coming down the pike. But I do apologize. Already in prison, already being persecuted, already experiencing great pressure and tribulation from enemies of the adversary. Now, I want to talk about two very important things, two very, very, very important things. Number one, are you ready for the level of spiritual warfare that is coming? Listen, I need to tell you this. I had a dream two nights ago. Two nights ago, I had a dream, and I held it in my heart, and I waited to make sure I understood it. In my dream, I saw a person. It was kind of a silhouette. You couldn't make out who the face of the person was or anything like that. It was kind of a darkened thing. And I saw a person literally groaning for Lucifer to come. I saw this, and it was the strangest thing I had ever seen in a dream. It was very evil, because this person groaning for Lucifer, I need Lucifer. They were talking in these tones of the groan. I need Lucifer to come. And I believe the interpretation of this particular dream is that right now, the church of Jesus Christ has been awakened to a degree. I really believe there's an awakening. And here in the United States of America, a lot of evangelical Christians have awakened and are encouraged by the presidency of Donald J. Trump, and things are getting done. And now the threat of Roe versus Wade being overthrown, okay? So a lot of encouragement. And I think that encouragement and that awakening of the evangelical Christian church and others everywhere, of course, God's people, the body of Christ, the true Jesus people, right? The bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. There's encouragement, there's awakening, and there's been much more prayer. And I believe that that has really hit the devil in the gut. And the devil worshipers, the witches, the warlocks, the Satanists, you know, the satanic priesthood, you call them the globalists, you call them whatever you want to call them. Well, the satanic kingdom has taken a blow, if you will, a punch in the gut, and people that are operating in that kind of witchcraft magic, that occultism, that deep demonic spiritual thing that is very, very real, of sorcery and every other sort of thing. Well, they're feeling the weight of God's people praying and this encouraging moment that they're experiencing and watching. Maybe not fully understanding, but they're seeing the potential here of something great happening. Well, the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of the church, the enemies of Christians, they are literally calling for Lucifer. They are begging Lucifer to come. And the people I've talked to who have had experiences with Lucifer talk about how beautiful Lucifer is, that when you see his beauty, all you want to do is worship him in adoration. And you could sense that they have this incredible adoration still for Lucifer. So this light-bearing Luciferian Masonic Lucifer that Albert Pike wrote about being the true light-bearer and Jesus is just a menace, that's in Morals and Dogmas by Albert Pike, the 33rd degree Mason. So Lucifer is the god of this world. Lucifer is the one, and there are people groaning for him, which means their groaning is drawing. And, you know, very soon this satanic reality is coming, and you and I need to be prepared for that. Because as a dear friend of mine said yesterday, on a scale of 1 to 10, the level of persecution and spiritual warfare that we're facing right now is a 0.5. Imagine that. On a scale of 1 to 10, in the level of persecution, we are at a 0.5. That's a 0.5. We're not even at 1 yet. And that the 10 is going to come, as it were, overnight, suddenly. We're going to go from 0.5 to 10. And that's what you and I have to start being aware of and thinking about, is how to stay in the presence of God, how to stay. And that staying power is going to be a continual trusting of the Lord at this time. And the moment you and I get our eyes on anybody or off of Jesus in any way and trusting him, we're going to feel the weight of that persecution and tribulation, those winds, that heavy weight of the demonic. We're going to have to stay in the trusting power of God. You and I are not going to be able to afford a moment of thinking God doesn't love me, God is not for me, or we are not going to be able to have a bitter root. We are not going to be able to carry a grudge and have unforgiveness. We are not going to be in a position to hate our enemies. Anything that we do contrary to the word of God is going to open a door to the winds. There's already a full frontal attack prepared. It's already been written. God foreknew it. He wrote about it. What's coming? He warns us about what is coming. And so the trusting of God is not just, you know, a nice little sermon that we hear and make people feel good about, you know, what God will do if we trust him. It is literally life and death. The second thing I want to talk to you about, not only the Luciferian cry from the Luciferians for their Lucifer to come, but I want you to know that I believe that God has revealed that illegal immigration is the modern day Trojan horse. I believe that the Trojan horse of illegal immigration is what we are observing right now. And what is that Trojan horse? Well, you know that the Greeks, after 10 years of fighting, that they went into the city of Troy, and according to, it's kind of not a fairy tale, but it's kind of, you know, something, some story that was told at some level of degree, and there may have been authenticity to it, but nonetheless, everybody knows about the Trojan horse, how they put that horse in there as a gift. And it was inside the Trojan horse where a special forces unit came out and slaughtered everybody, and they won the war. So illegal immigration right now, we have mothers crying for their children. Oh, you bad people on the right. How could you separate mothers from their children? When, of course, the same left that's crying out that mantra are the people that support murdering and separating babies from the womb of their mother by the tune of about 500 million globally, probably even more than that now. So the Trojan horse is the crying babies, the crying children, one or two stories that are authentic that add to the mix. And, you know, all the sadness and this is bad. And how could you do that? This is inhumane. And so this is the Trojan horse. And people begin to say, oh, we don't need to shut down the borders. We cannot turn these people away. We need to receive them, just like they received the Trojan horse in the city of Troy. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there is a plan of the enemy. We need to be aware of that plan. To help me continue on in my conversation today is Daniel Seckham. He's calling in from Australia. Good morning, Brother Daniel. How are you today, sir?
I am very, very, very well. Sorry, it took me a while to get on the line.
Yeah, that's why I was talking so much, but that's okay. I'm glad you're with us. Hey, Daniel, I was reading an article that you had written, and I don't even know what news site I got it from, but what a magnificent piece you wrote. And then I saw that you finally wrote your book.
Well, it's not done yet. I'm basically getting people to sign up to the newsletter so I can give them updates as to what's happening with it. So I'm basically building a base of subscribers.
Oh, good. Tell us how to do that so people listening right now could help you get that accomplished.
Yeah, well, all they need to do is go to any one of my three websites. So probably better to go to either Israel Islam or Israel Islam and EndTimes.com. That's Israel Islam and EndTimes.com, or go to CultureWarResource.com. That's CultureWarResource.com. And you'll be able to see it on the menu at the top, or just click on any article, and then at the footer of the article, you'll see where you can actually sign up. So, yeah, it's happening. It's the book is coming together, which is really exciting. So I'm just hoping that I will be able to get it released sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. And let's pray that through in Jesus' name. I think there's a number of people that have books inside of them that they need to get them written and get them out, because the books will always open doors of opportunity to get out even further with the message that God has put in our heart that we put in these books. So, yes, we will be praying for that. So what is it that God has put in your heart to share with our listeners today in the next 30 minutes?
My goodness, where do I begin? I mean, we could start with a lot with what's been happening around the world at the moment. Especially, I mean, the left have now becoming so incredibly brazen. Brazen is the word. I mean, there was a float at the New York Gay Pride Parade, where they were celebrating, and it said in a big sign on the float that said, "Thank God for abortions." Thank God for abortions. Now, 2-3 days ago, Michelle Wolf on her Netflix program, did a segment where it was the segment was called Salute to Abortions. And there she gleefully came out dressed in patriotic dress with these trumpeters marching behind her, and where she saluted and said, God bless abortions. God bless abortions and God bless America. It's just extraordinary. The level of the brazen level that we're seeing happening at the moment, and what I think is, and what we're seeing more and more of is that they're becoming more, the left are becoming more brazen in their socialist agendas. For example, there are even members within the DNC who are calling for the abolishment of ICE. This is your immigration. Excuse me, your border police. I mean, these are the people who keep your border secure. These are the people who are the customs officials who try to shut down the drug trafficking and human trafficking. These are the people who are putting a stop to this. And yet the left want to shut that down. They want to abolish ICE. They want to open up the borders. The mask is falling off their face now, and it's become quite clear that these people are open. In fact, I'll even go beyond socialists and even say communists. This is what they want. They want a socialist revolution where they overturn the American Revolution and replace it with a socialist revolution. In fact, that's what I wrote about in my article that I wrote on the Karl Marx's posthumous war on America.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of information right there. And, you know, what I heard somebody say, Daniel, one gentleman was crying out, and he kept saying it over and over again, the criminality that's coming against women to stop them from doing what they want to do with their bodies. The criminality. This is criminal to not allow women to have an abortion. And I'm thinking, like everybody else is thinking, wow, you're talking about breaking a law, a criminal act against a woman. And what about God's law of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness for all? And that abortion was illegal for over 200 and some odd years, by the same people that understood this principle of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they also created laws to protect the society and the most innocent life in the womb. How insane is it? It really is a brazen insanity.
Yeah, it is. And it's becoming more, like I said to you, like they're no longer hiding it anymore. They are absolutely out and proud about this very thing. And it's almost as if they've have reached a point of critical mass where they are now no longer they're transitioning. They're transitioning where they're actually now got the numbers behind them, where they can got enough momentum to really push for this socialist revolution. But that said, Vincent, there is some positive signs. There is some positive signs in regard to the walk away movement. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
Well, there's a walk away movement where there was a man who basically said, listen, I've now got to the point where I can no longer conscientiously go along with the Democrat Party. I have some good friends, and because they disagree with the Democrat Party line, they are called Nazis. Since when did we call people who think differently to us and label them as Nazis? I said, this isn't right, this is wrong. And this is why I say we need to walk away. We need to walk away from the left, because the left has turned totalitarian. He says, I'm saying this as a former liberal. I was a liberal, and now I'm no longer a liberal. And we all need to walk away. And it's actually gaining steam, which is encouraging. So, how far will that go? Well, I don't know. I'd like to see it go far, but realistically speaking, I don't know. We'll have to see. But it's interesting, you know.
God has never given us armor for our backside, has he? I need to ask you one question, because I had some friends were asking me about this for a reminder. Last week, when you were on the air, you started out by talking about people that have gone mad, and you talked about the madness. Yeah. Can you kind of reiterate a little bit on what you were saying? And that was even a biblical reality as well, correct?
Yeah, it's a biblical reality, and it's also a concept known in ancient literature. You know, those whom the gods destroy, they first make mad.
Okay,
they first make mad, and this is what we're seeing at the moment. You know, there was a British doctor who worked for the NHS, which is the National Health Service of the UK. He was fired. He was fired because he would not budge from his position that sex was to do with biology, that gender was determined by biology, because he affirmed that gender was determined by biology. He was sacked. I mean, we now got to the point now where the left are completely disregard facts. I mean, they completely are steamrolling even over facts. But you could understand that this has been a progression over the past 20 years. I mean, the fact that they have successfully got homosexuality, got the nation to accept homosexuality, then the whole transgender thing is just, well, you know, if they could accept the ridiculous lie about homosexuality, then who's to say that they won't accept transgenderism? You know, I mean, it's a slippery slope of deception. And this is going to appear in my next article that's going to appear in Prophecy in the News for August. And it's all about the suppression of truth and the dumbing down of the nation. Because here's the thing, Pastor Vincent, like the rampant contagion of homosexuality that we're seeing happening in the West would never, ever, ever happen in a society based on self-evident truth. It can only happen in a society where truth is suppressed. where truth is greatly suppressed and only it like in a dumbed down. I mean, we have been so utterly dumbed down, so dumbed down that we can, that the left is now accusing conservatives who love their country, who take pride in their country, take pride in their in the military, who honor the flag, you know, who celebrate July 4th, you know, these good-hearted American people, they call them Nazis. That's how dumbed down they are. If they picked up a history book and studied the Third Reich and studied Hitler's rise to power and how he formed government, I mean, if they just looked at history, they would see that these us conservatives are as far away as the Nazis as they possibly can. But more than that, I mean, if they picked up a history book, they would realize that Antifa, that is emerging on university campuses and in every major city all over the United States, Antifa is pretty much is the Nazis rolled up into one. It's basically the paramilitary arm of the Democrat Party, Antifa. They call themselves anti-fascists, but in reality, they are as fascist as they come. So it's interesting how things are becoming inverted. Not only is truth being denied, but truth is in the process of being inverted. It's absolutely stunning what we're witnessing here. Like the dumbing down of truth is just absolutely breathtaking to behold, even to the point now where they have become anti-science. Anti-science in rejecting the fact that gender is based on biology. I mean, this is the extent of the great delusion that we are witnessing firsthand at the moment.
Yeah, and it is a great delusion. There's no doubt about it. Hey, I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of an intimate question about our country here in the United States of America, about the borders. I am believing that God has revealed that this whole illegal immigration issue is a Trojan horse, and that all the images and pictures of the crying children being separated from their mothers, you know, that this is the emotional ploy. This is the thing that we have been feeding on as a nation, tolerism and compassion you know, all these different things, which are really meant to bring compromise, and we open doors. We make compromises because of our emotions, and the evil is forwarded on. So talk a little bit about the Trojan horse of illegal immigration in the United States. Do you see things that way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a massive, massive thing that they are pushing, that they are pushing at the moment, because it does a few things. Illegal immigration, once again, the left never get behind things unless it can kill two birds with one stone. You know, this is what the whole thing with gay marriage did, because gay marriage confronted two institutions at the same time. It confronted the institution of the family and the institution of the church. It killed two birds with one stone. So many of the things that they get behind don't just have one objective in mind. It has multiple objectives, and that is certainly the case of the Muslim of the migration. Now, what's funny is that this same phenomenon that's happening with Mexico, with people coming across the border from Mexico, was exactly what we saw happening with the Arab Spring. Now, the destabilization that happened in Syria was perpetrated by Obama. The Obama administration was behind the destabilization of the Arab nations during the Arab Spring. They were the architects behind the massive influx of refugees pouring into Europe. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to come up with that because they wanted to erase the Judeo-Christian identity, their homogeneity. They wanted to erase that because Christianity is the major barrier, preventing a socialist revolution. Christianity stops it in its tracks because it prevents people from depending on the government, because you are self-governed. Christians, when they live according to the Bible and they live according to the principles found in the Word of God, they are self-governed. They don't need government. They become self-governed. You know, the God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. The other translations say self-discipline. It gives us discipline to rule our own life. And so because of that, the left have to fight against that. They have to get people off Christianity. They have to get them as far away from the church as possible. This is why they are trying to sexualize our children from as young as possible, because by doing that, they have the chance to get them as far away from the Christian morality as they possibly can. The objective is to remove all moral anchor points. All moral anchor points. They have to remove all moral anchor points because they want absolute dependency and servitude to the state. That's what they want, and this is why they have to fight against the church. Now, getting back to your question, Pastor Vincent, in regard to the whole open borders agenda, yes, it's an absolute agenda too. And by the way, this is a globalist agenda because they don't want borders. They want to erase borders. They don't like the idea of American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism. It's the fact that America is exceptional. You know, and many Christian conservatives are proud, you know, living in America, are proud Americans, and so they should be. They absolutely should be proud Americans, because God is the one that has made America great, because America has honored God. They are, not only are they patriotic, but they honor God. They say, God bless America. And that's one of the things I treasure about your country, Pastor Vincent. Every time I go there, I am just taken aback by the patriotism, but not just that, but the honor that the people have for God, especially in places like Arkansas, where there's a church on virtually almost every corner. So this is the left hate that. The left see immigration as the ideal tool from which they can use to destroy the it does a bunch of different things. The first thing that it does is that it counterbalances the voting. It basically upsets the voting stranglehold of Republican voters, because here's the thing: the illegal immigrants that are coming in want benefits. So who is the party that is all about handing out benefits? Well, it's the Democrats. The Democrats are the ones who want to maximize welfare. These are the ones who want to get as many people on welfare as they possibly can, because then they basically become slaves of the government. And that's what that's what the Democrats want. So they understand that if they can get as many illegals, especially into Texas, not so much Arizona and New Mexico. They want to get people into Texas. Texas target state, okay? Because if they want to do to Texas what they did to California, they want to flip Texas from a red to a blue state, okay? This is why not only the Democrat Party, but also George Soros is pouring millions upon millions upon millions of dollars into flipping Texas from a red to a blue state. So they want to do that. And the other thing that it does is that it waters down the Christian influence. It removes the Christian influence. And finally, it brings about chaos and warfare And when that happens, this is what they want. This is what the left want, because then they can step in as a solution to the chaos. Government expands whenever chaos presents itself. Government has to expand to clean up the mess. See, people's security is threatened. And when people's security is threatened, who do they cry out to? Well, they cry out to the government. So the government has to expand to assure the security of the people. And this, again, this is why they're against the Second Amendment. This is why they hate the Second Amendment, because people's security is, they have self-security with being self-armed. However, if the moment the left can take away the guns, they have to depend upon the government even more. So this is the agenda, Pastor Vincent, and it's absolutely insidious.
It is insidious. And Daniel, I know that you have a deep spiritual love for Israel, and rightfully so, and that your whole ministry is geared towards what's going on in Israel, in Islam, in the Middle East, in, you know, in the world today. So at the end of our broadcast, at right around 10 o'clock, I'm going to be playing a clip, and I want to just, you know, talk a little bit about this. I saw it yesterday. It's a YouTube video where a Jewish rabbi who believes in Torah is having a very, very difficult time. In fact, he's probably most antagonistic against Jesus himself. In your ministry, when you're dealing with the Jewish people, and you're, you know, because we're seeing what the left is doing, we're seeing what the progressives are doing, we're watching all these different movements around and about us, but you and I know that on every tier, on every level in this world, there are battles going on everywhere, from the heavens, in the second heaven, between Michael and his angels, and the devil and his angels, there's a battle there, and then on down into every area of this world that we live in, there's a battle going on, an argument, and I was watching these Christian evangelists were sharing Jesus Christ at a pro-Israel rally in Los Angeles. And the conversation is very interesting, how Jesus is a blasphemer. He is he is not to be tolerated by the Jews. What do you do when you meet up with people and the Jewish community whose minds are still blinded by the God of this world, who has talked like this rabbi was talking? How do you deal with that? How would you encourage people to walk through that kind of conversation?
Well, that's a great question. I'll basically always go to show them where Yeshua is in the Torah, because that is definitely the big thing for them to understand. You know, my close friend Paul Cohen is actually in Israel right now. He actually came to faith. Now he's one of the finest Messianic Jewish Bible teachers here in Australia. He's a brilliant man, and he has spoken at a number of my different seminars. Paul Cohen became born again when he heard, I think it was someone preaching on Jesus in the testing of Abraham, with the correlations between Isaac and Jesus. See, and he never saw it before. He never saw it there before. And this is the case with so many Jews. So many Jews are absolutely blown away when you explain to them where Jesus is in the Torah. Now, out of each of the five books of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, Yeshua is present in every single one of those books. In every single one of those books, you can get a Jew, and you can sit down with him, and you can say, "Here is your Messiah," in each of the books of the Torah. So from Genesis, you can say, "Here is Isaac." Now, by the way, what's interesting is the place, because the place is Moriah. God says, go to Moriah. Where is Moriah? Well, Moriah is where the Temple Mount is. Moriah is the mountain that the Temple Mount is built upon. That's where God told Abraham to go to sacrifice his son. Now, the other fascinating thing is that Isaac carried the wood for sacrifice. What did Yeshua do?
Yes.
Yeshua carried the wood. He carried the cross for sacrifice.
Never heard that before.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, Pastor Vincent. The other thing is that The Bible refers to Isaac. Now, the Hebrew word that is used here is na'ah, na'ah. Now, whenever you see na'ah in the text, it's referring to a young... And by the way, most of the time when we think of Isaac, we think of him as a boy. I mean, don't we? We've got this picture in our head when we think of Isaac as this 12-year-old boy. Now, if that was the case, you would see the Hebrew word yelad. Yelad is the Hebrew word for a young boy. But it doesn't use that. It uses the word na'ah. Now, na'ah always referred, in the vast majority of cases, it refers to a young man in his early 30s. A young man in his early 30s. That's extremely significant. And it is significant because of this reason. What we have here in this story is not just the story of a victimized child, but we have a story of a submissive son. Because Isaac was old enough to overpower his father. He could have easily have overpowered his elderly father. But he didn't. He allowed himself to be bound and put upon that altar. You know, I can just imagine Isaac saying, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." I mean, that just puts a whole new perspective on that. Just as Abraham put up the knife, the angel of the Lord says, "Don't do it, don't do it, for I've seen that you have not withheld back from me your only son." And then Abraham looked up. Oh, and by the way, before I say that, when Isaac said to his father, he says, the fire is here and the wood is here, but where is the lamb? And he says, the Lord will provide a lamb. That's a prophetic statement right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A prophetic statement that echoes throughout thousands of years to the time of Calvary. But then he looked up, and what does he see? He sees a lamb with its head caught in thorns. He sees a ram with its head caught in thorns.
Wow. That's awesome. That's
stunning.
Good. It is stunning. Now, what was that word, the na'in, the two Hebrew words you were talking about that separate from a child and a man in his 30s? Where was that at?
Yes. Yelad. Okay, so yelad is the Hebrew word for a young child. Okay,
where is that used in that verse?
Yelad. Well, it's used in a bunch of different verses where it's referring to children. Okay? So, and now the word that's actually specifically used for Isaac is na'ah. Na'ah. So, it's actually nun, the Hebrew letter nun. And I think it's either aleph or ayin. I can't remember which one. And then resh, the Hebrew letter resh. But it's fascinating. I mean, that puts a whole new perspective on that story. And then, of course, when you get to Exodus, you have the picture of the Passover. When the Hebrews got the hyssop branch, put it into the bowl of blood, they would have waved, they would have lifted up the branch, and the blood would have spattered up the middle of the door. And then he would have put it above and then brought it back down and then splattering the blood on both sides of the doorposts, which would have made the symbol of the cross, Pastor Vincent. That would have made the symbol of the cross when you think about that. And then the angel of the Lord would have came and seen that blood and passed over as a result of the blood. So clear that picture in Exodus. And then, of course, in Leviticus, you have the scapegoat that is sent out into the desert with all the sins of the nation upon it to die in the desert, to die out just outside of Jerusalem. The goat is sent outside of Jerusalem to die with all the sins of the nation upon it, you know, the scapegoat. And that's where we get the word scapegoat from, you know. And then in Numbers, we have the bronze snake that's lifted up in the desert. you know, and all who looked to the bronze snake lifted up in the desert were healed of their the snake's venom, you know. And Jesus said, as the bronze snake was lifted up in the desert, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, and all who see him will be healed. Now, when you go to Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy, it gets even more fascinating. Moses prophesies that God in the future, that he's going to raise up a prophet just like me. This is Deuteronomy chapter 18. He says, God is going to raise up a prophet just like me. And from your own brethren, from among my own brothers, you must listen to him. You must listen to him, because if you don't listen to him, you'll be cut off from your own people. Now, fast forward, Vincent, to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there we have Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter pipes up and says, it would be great if we could make some tents, you know, and then one for Elijah and one for Moses. Actually, what he does say is tabernacles. He said, let's just set up a tabernacle for Moses and Elijah, and, you know, we can all stay. And then God says, the cloud comes down, and what does God say to Moses? He says, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him. You know, exactly what Moses said. Moses said that the time will come, I will raise up a prophet just like me. And when you look at the parallels between Moses and Jesus, stunning, Vincent, absolutely stunning.
Well, they are stunning, but you have to help me. Now, I'm a kindergartner in this conversation, so please treat me as such. I'm having a hard time because I'm looking at the Hebrew word for son when it comes to Isaac in the book of Genesis. I'm looking at all the different times the word son is used. And every single time it's number. Go ahead.
The Hebrew word for son is Ben.
Right.
So it's Ben when you look for son. Yeah.
Where are we getting the word from? For
Na'ah is actually referring to him as the young man. Okay. So you find Ben, which refers to the son. This is where you get, you know, Ben Yamin, which is Benjamin, the son of my right hand. So you see, you find Ben, but then you find Na'ah. Na'ah is definitely in the text.
Okay, and we just don't know where that. The young man, he hasted to dress it. Okay, fetch a calf, tenor. Okay, and the young man. I'm just looking for that phrase that where I can find that word. Now you can imagine me in a classroom. I was disruptive like this. I want to know something.
Do you have an interlinear Bible?
Okay, I've got it. There's Na'ah, and the word Na'ah here means from the age of infancy to adolescence, and it means babe, boy, child, damsel, servant, lad, young man. So
in the majority of the vast majority of cases, it's always referring to a young man in his early 30s. And this is something that I not only went, this is what I went over with my professor of Old Testament in my degree. And as well as many other Bible teachers have also reiterated this fact, including David Pawson and also including Chuck Missler as well, have reiterated that, that this is the case. And now, again, it just brings the point home. We're not talking about a victimized child. We're talking about a submissive son. And another thing, too, about that, Vincent, is that where was the point where they would have said that? Well, the vantage point from where they would have been down near where the Mount of Olives would have been. So for Isaac to say to his father, you know, you know, like, where's the sacrifice? And he says, God will provide a lamb. I mean, that's the same place where Jesus would have said to his father, not my will, but your will be done. I mean, the parallels are just extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. You know, I flourish in that Hebraic teaching, and I find it absolutely phenomenal, the depth of, you know, every letter in the Hebrew has a picture associated with it, and it produces an understanding that is so much broader than what we have in our simple little language. And so my appreciation for those who study Hebrew and come out with genuine You know, the pictures. I love looking. I like third grade, man. I read a book. It says big letters, and then there's a picture. I love that. I think that's the way we're supposed to learn. So, Daniel, thank you for that education, that class. Now, what we need to do is pray for your book to become a reality and to be sent forth to the ends of the earth. And so, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we ask you, Lord, to quicken the pace in what Daniel is putting his hand to. We're asking, Lord God, that this excellent wisdom that you have given him, Lord God, to bring forth the revelation of what you're doing in this hour will go forth, that you'll open doors. It'll be a calling card. It will be a key to unlock doors. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, for an acceleration within his own spirit, heart, and mind with understanding to really bring this forth. And may the urgency for the time of crises is here, and the demand, the urgent cry right now for people to understand things at this level will take place. In Jesus' name we pray, Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen. Amen.
All right. Brother Daniel, we're out of time. I've got to play a clip from a Hebrew to a guy that called himself a Gentile dog. I guess he wasn't feeling that he was much of anything. He was really honoring the Jewish people. But the argument is coming up. I want to play that. Daniel Seckham, thanks for joining me once again on the broadcast today. As always, we love you, appreciate you, and you be super blessed, my dear friend. God bless you. And that's where we're going to close things out for right now for the Watchman program. Patricia Joy Xavier has yielded her time this morning, and we want to bring this video clip to those of you that are going to stay on with us here. This is a rabbi confronting a Christian who is proselytizing at Israeli Independence Fair in Los Angeles, California. You be the judge of the conversation, but this, again, is just part of the global tension that is rising around the world. I'm Vincent Xavier. I'll see you tomorrow morning, Lord willing. God bless. Here's the video.
They would come around to your thinking.
Let me tell you what my goal is, okay?
My goal is, as a Christian, I stand that God gave you that piece of real estate and you are giving it up. You hang on. Let me finish. As a Christian, we're here to actually support you, but you're so paranoid, you mistaken us for Muslims. We're not here to slice your throat. We're here to stand behind. The God of Israel is the only God. There is no other God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
We're trying to tell you,
stop giving up your birthright.
I agree with you
well,
on all that.
We can stay.
But if you
want to buy me a meal now and apologize?
No, I don't.
Come on now.
I want to tell you right now.
You just slandered me.
If that is all you're here for, then turn your shirts inside out right
not
now.
Not at all. Are you embarrassed of the Messiah? Are you embarrassed that Jesus is the Son of God?
First of all, he wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the Messiah.
And you have every right to believe
that. And he never existed.
I'm not a Muslim. I'm not going to slit your throat.
Yeah, but
you can be an atheist and walk away.
There were Christians on this planet for hundreds and thousands of years who slit Jewish throats. If we
what Christian did that? Give me some names.
In the Inquisition.
Those are Catholics. Catholics are not Christians.
It doesn't matter.
Christians don't pray to the Pope. Christians don't bow down to Mary.
Protestants, well, they blame.
Come on, get some names.
You know who the Protestants are.
Give me some names.
Right? What's his
There's
face?
A whole lot of accusations.
Martin Luther.
He came out of Catholicism.
And then
he's kind of like Catholic light.
He created for you Protestantism.
No, he didn't.
Who created it? Calvin?
No, in fact, you can go back to a group called the Anabaptists.
Yes.
They were even before.
So, and then you go to the Anabaptists now in the South, and they're all anti-Semitic.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yes, they are.
No,
the
you're
worst,
not.
Most virulent,
why are you
like
so paranoid? You're so paranoid.
The Westboro guys from Kansas.
You ought to thank God for American Christianity.
What are they called? Westboro?
Why do you keep having him bail you up? Why don't I just interview him and you just stand on the side?
I'm not asking him to bail me out. You were just here to support Jews, and support Israel, you would turn your shirts inside out.
No,
you wouldn't
no,
wear these shirts.
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't wear these
absolutely.
Shirts at all.
That's like saying if I walked around with an Obama T-shirt, a Republican is going to demand that I remove that shirt.
If it
that's
was
insane.
If it was,
that's insane.
If it was a Republican
you're not very
convention.
Tolerant. You're not very
no,
tolerant.
No, I'm not, because I know your
I hate
agenda.
To break the news.
Your agenda.
We're not in the Middle East.
Your agenda is to convert Jews.
This is America.
Your agenda is to convert Jews. You're not here just to support Israel. You use support of Israel as a calling card to influence people. Oh, you're our friend? Okay, now listen to the rest of what you have to
do
say.
Do you believe that God gave you Israel?
Yes.
Do you believe God gave you Jerusalem?
Yes.
Do you believe God told you to give the Muslims that mosque there on your holy site? Well, then what did you do to piss your God off that he gave your enemy your sacred temple ground? What did you do?
The Jews, it's all in the Bible.
What did you, I'm asking
we
you.
We worshipped idolatry like Jesus. In those days, Jesus was called something else. He was called Astarte, or he was called a Baal, or he
you
was called
an animal then, sacrifice. Moses commands an animal sacrifice.
A real animal, not a human being.
Well, Jesus is my Lamb of God.
Yeah, okay.
But
so
where
you,
is your animal sacrifice?
We pray every day in our
that's
our
lovely. I'm
and
impressed.
That takes the place
where,
until
no,
we have an altar again.
Moses commands a blood
right.
sacrifice,
and we're not able to do it now because the Israeli government block us from doing our sacrifice.
No, because Muslims own that temple.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
We technically
and you guys
own it.
Don't
we
have
liberate.
A backbone to take it back.
Tommy, you're dividing between me and other Jews. I have nothing to do with the Israeli government. They are in the wrong. They are not listening to God.
They're like Esau. They've given up their birthright.
I agree with you.
And what
I
are you doing
with you.
About? And you're trying
I protest
to you're
every
too
day
bad you
it.
Can't be as vocal about what Israel is doing by giving away that land
I do
as you are
day.
About two guys
I
walking
do.
Around with T-shirts on.
Who are trying to
you're
convert
be very consistent.
Jesus. We're trying to get influence Jews to believe in Jesus.
No,
that's what you're here
that's
for.
That's your choice.
That's what
you
you're
can
here
be
for.
An atheist and walk away.
No, but you're here for
you
that.
You can be an atheist and walk
you're
away.
You're not here to support
this
Israel.
This is America. We have free speech.
Yeah, I understand
this
that.
This isn't Afghanistan
but
or
you
Pakistan
won't answer.
Or any of the stands.
Jews,
this is America.
Just answer the question.
Go ahead.
Do you want Jews to believe in Jesus?
I
yes
want
no?
Jews to believe in their Messiah.
And will you say the word Jesus, please?
Jesus.
Do you believe that he is the Messiah?
Absolutely.
And
Son
you
of
believe,
God,
and do, are you
the
here,
fullness of God.
And are
absolutely.
You here to hope to reach Jews in this festival that they should believe in Jesus, that he's their Messiah
I
also?
Doubt they would believe it because
that's
people like you
for.
Might
but,
come after
but,
them.
But
not
that's
people
what you're
like me.
But that's
like
what
you.
You're here for.
People
but
like
that's
you.
What you're here for.
People
but
like
but that's what you're here for. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you.
If this was a Muslim event, we'd be here. If this was a Mormon event, we'd be here. If this was a Catholic event, we'd be here. So why are you taking it personal?
Because Jews are not allowed to worship Jesus.
Jesus said to go out and to love the world so that they could come to the truth and the light.
But this
sends a couple Gentile dogs like us.
We hold that it's not the truth. We hold it's false to believe in what you believe. We hold it's idolatry to believe in what
up?
You believe.
You did?
No. The Torah, it says straight in the Torah that we do not believe in any human being is God. We don't believe it.
Jesus was worshipped.
Yes.
He was worshipped.
He may have been, but
he
that was
worshiped.
Idolatry. That was idolatry. That
he
is not
worshipped.
Judaism.
Fact,
we
was,
are for Jews to worship Judaism. We want Jews to worship God. There's only one God. We don't need an intermediary.
Are you trying to convert us to Judaism?
No, I'm not trying to say
I'm
anything.
I'm going
to
be offended
just,
if you're
I'm
trying to convert
you,
us. You're trying
I'm
to convert
trying,
us.
I'm just trying
to
tell you
Jew.
That your only purpose being here is to try and convert us.
No.
And that is offensive
away.
In a festival.
No,
fine,
you
but you'll still walk to the next one.
You can walk
and you'll
away.
Hope the next one stays
I'm
and gets converted.
I'm only here talking because you came up to me or I'd be walking.
Right. If you were here only for supporting Israel and your right to be
there's
in
a lot of T-shirts that are flying around.
You would
I don't
turn,
think about.
You would turn
I don't
these
like
T-shirts inside
am
out
I
right
going
now.
To? No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
you're
not
here to convert us.
Go get LAPD.
And that is
go get LAPD.
That is idolatry.
Go get LAPD.
Go what?
Go get LAPD.
I don't care to get LAPD.
If this is
I can
wrong,
stand up for myself. I don't need. I don't need. I don't need. I don't need. I don't need that to fight my battles. I'm fighting you right now by telling you that you are here only as a provocation.
That your game is weak.
So
your game is weak. You got
if I leave, you're going to give me my $10 back plus parking?
Yeah, let's get it up.
No, I'm just asking, are you going to do that? I might consider that. I might buy a meal.
Here.
That's another, what, $25?
I'll give you the $8.
I want something to drink.
Here. I have $8 here. If you promise that you guys will buy something on the way out and leave, I'll give you this right now.
Nine. Not going to happen. This is America. Thank God we live in this great country.
But I'm just telling you, the only reason you're here is to influence Jews to believe in what you believe
in. We're not choking.
That's what you're here for.
You came to us.
No, but you've been walking around all day or as long as you've been here.
I've been here about an hour.
Okay, but that's your point of being here.
You're blowing everything out of proportion.
No, I'm not.
You're so intolerant of us. You won't allow us to walk around here.
I want to protect Jews from you. From your opinion, your philosophies, your belief systems.
They're so feeble. They're so feeble, we'll convince them. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, but there might be somebody you might convince. And I'm trying to avoid that one person. It's worth for me to confront you just so that one person who might listen to you.
You failed. You didn't confront us. It's not going to happen. Shirts are going to stay outside the right way, and we're going to keep walking.
Bottom line is, you're a fraud. You said your purpose of being here is to support Israel, and your purpose is not.
I was supporting Israel.
But that's not your stated purpose.
How do you know?
Go to every booth that we just talked to and ask them what we talked about.
It doesn't matter.
Your
shirts do the talking for you, and you're trying to influence Jews to believe in Jesus.
They should. They should believe in their Messiah,
okay,
bottom line.
Fine. So
they should believe in their Messiah.
That,
much
so
like
that,
they should have animal sacrifice, bottom
so that,
line.
Leave me alone.
Give me that tension.
Listen to your elders. Don't you respect your elders? Are you such of a rebel? Your elder's trying to tell you something?
I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel.
You are a rebel. I speak for myself. You despise
me. I don't despise God. I stand for my rabbi, Rabbi Meir Kahane, and he would do the same thing that
the gay parade is down the road.
He would do the same thing that I'm doing right now, is to tell you to take a hike. Because you're not here to support Israel. Because if you were here to support Israel, you'd wear regular shirts like we're wearing. You'd wear regular shirts.
We're not just go to the Museum of Tolerance.
Yeah, go. Yeah,
you
please.
Think they'd kick us out with these shirts on?
Probably.
Yeah, how tolerant of so.
I don't think so.
Then go. Let's find out.
I don't think so.
Let's go. You'll write back. We'll give you his phone number, and you'll call back and see
maybe
if they're
after,
doing or
maybe
not.
Tomorrow we'll go check.
Okay, fine.
Right now we're a little bit busy.
Yes,
we're a little bit busy.
Busy trying to convert
so,
Jews to
where is your temple? Who has the grounds of your temple?
Oh, my temple mouse? Yeah, the Israeli government.
So, where's the mosque in that?
Yeah, the mosques have to come down. I agree 100%.
So why?
But that's not the point. That's
well,
not
no, it
the
is
issue
the point.
That I have.
Why? Okay, it's obvious. Why is that mosque on that holy site?
Because the Jews sinned and were kicked out of the land for nearly 2,000 years. And when we got back, we didn't have a government with the guts to take it down.
Isn't that interesting? 2,000 years around the same time the Messiah was put to death? You think? Possibly?
The guy you pretend was the Messiah.
You can reject him.
I do reject
him. That's
your
goal.
I don't even believe he ever existed.
Well, even atheists
believe
he existed.
I think my rabbis and my sages that I researched it said he's not a real figure. The story was based on some kind of rebel.
Why does
Israel.
It bother you? Why does a fictitious individual bother you so much?
All these people here are supposed to believe in Judaism and the Torah and God and not
but
in
you
what you
can't even do that.
No, I am believing
no,
in
No, you can't even do that.
Why are you
still sinning then?
I'm not sinning.
Where is the atonement?
What am I sinning?
Your blood sacrifice for your sin.
My blood sacrifices every time I read the passages that talk about sacrifices every day.
Let's just say that.
That's
Moses
going contrary to Moses.
Yes, it takes
Moses that's going contrary to Moses.
Jeremiah the prophet told
Moses
us to do
doesn't
this.
Say that.
Jeremiah the prophet told us to do this now that the temple's been destroyed.
That blood shed is
everlasting. Until it's rebuilt.
Everlasting.
A human
everlasting.
Blood. And you guys have been spilling our blood in the name of this guy. For
you ought to thank God for America.
That's what you've been
America,
doing.
You ought to
that's
thank God for that 300-pound gorilla.
Exactly.
Our military, our beloved
sacrifice.
Military,
you
or Israel wouldn't
are,
be no more.
We are sacrifices
here's
for
a problem.
2,000 years.
You're a lawbreaker.
I'm not a lawbreaker.
You've broken God's law long enough, and it's time for you to repent. Let me make it real simple. You break man's law, you go to jail. You break God's law, you go to hell. That's the truth. And I just laid it out on the line.
Our law doesn't say what your law says. Our law
we believe
is the Torah.
God's law.
No, no,
yes, God's law.
You don't interpret the Bible properly. You do not
really?
Know
what, apart,
what the Bible
what
says.
Thou shalt not, do we not understand?
Thou shalt not, which one? Worship
yeah.
Idolatry. How do you understand that?
How do you understand thou shalt not worship idolatry?
Well, who's worshiping idols
you
here?
You guys are. You hold Jesus as the God incarnate. That's idolatry. By every definition.
Jesus.
What?
He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be God in the flesh. That was his claim. We have eyewitness accounts. We have archaeology. We have history.
I have a question for you. That's nowhere in the Old Testament. You know that a lot of people were martyred here because they claim to have seen Jesus Christ resurrected. You know that, right? And a lot of people were fed to wild animals. They were fed to wild animals. They were burned at the stake because they claimed that they saw Jesus Christ resurrected. See, a lot of people die for what they believe.
I understand.
A lot of people die for what they believe. The Muslims die for Allah.
I know.
But these people died because they claim they saw Jesus Christ resurrected.
But in their case, they were giving their life for nothing because it wasn't true. It was made up.
But why would...
Give me the mic. Oh, no. Give me the mic.
Why would they die?
They were insane. They were insane.
They were claiming something that they saw.
Here. No, I'm just giving you
this. It never happened.
Put it this way.
A better mic.
I never saw aliens. Why would I say that I saw aliens? I was going to get killed. There were hundreds of people murdered because they claimed that they saw Jesus Christ resurrected. They claimed that they saw him.
They martyred themselves for nothing, sadly. Sadly, they martyred themselves
so you think that
for
hundreds of people.
Thousands of people.
Were volunteers.
Yes, they did. They were crazy. They were insane.
They killed themselves.
They were insane.
They were saved.
They weren't.
They saw him resurrected. They
knew
that they were going to be killed.
We know that.
And they did it anyway.
We know that it's not true. Because we have to have the truth. Because we have to have the truth. Because we need the truth. The truth is that there's only...
Everybody come into their own truth.
No, there's no... By definition, there cannot be two truths. There can only be one truth or else it's not true. Either you're right...
I agree with you on that.
But we both can't be right.
How about
both of you? God's right, and he gave us the Torah on Mount Sinai. He gave us the Torah on Mount Sinai, and that's the Holy Scripture. The New Testament is not holy, and it's not Scripture.
Who says?
I say.
You say. So you've set yourself up to be God?
Yeah. No, I've set myself up to be a follower of God, and these are the teachings of Judaism.
If you set yourself up to be a follower, and the truth is that you've rejected your Messiah, that's why your land is shrinking. That's why the Jews are going away, because you have rejected your God.
What we're supposed to
do in the land. Why not?
Because we have Gentile Jews running the place. That's why. Jewish Gentiles are running the place. The bottom line is...
You've always rebelled against God.
The bottom line
you've
is...
You've always rebelled against the God of the Bible.
I don't rebel against God.
You hate your
Messiah. It's called the only Testament, not the Old Testament. We have the only one.
And where's
never
your animal
been
sacrifice?
Another one. We do it as soon as the temple is rebuilt. We're going to do it again.
Oh, the Christian love. You gotta love it. No, you know, I don't love it. And it's sad that presentation is, I guess, more combative, more confrontive from both sides. But I know we have to argue the cause. We have to argue the case. It's a battle for what is truth. But I kind of like the way things were laid out in presentation, as Daniel did today, to present the truth, the gospel, through the Torah lens, and to find Messiah in the Scriptures rather than just arguing Jesus is or Jesus isn't. Some great stories would have been apropos. Wish we would have been there, but this is a tough crowd. I'm telling you right now, this is a tough crowd, and there was much more to it. I'll see you tomorrow. Got to go. Pastor Vince, God bless everybody. Shalom. Until we meet again.